With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Coffee Break Italian, Season 3, Episode 20. Buongiorno a tutti e benvenuti a Coffee Break Italian. Io sono Mark.
Ciao a tutti e io sono Francesca.
Come stai, Francesca?
Molto bene, grazie Mark. E tu?
Devo dire che oggi sono molto emozionato.
Sì?
Per quello che facciamo oggi.
Ah, per l'argomento.
Per l'argomento, esatto.
Ah, sì, hai ragione.
We're doing something a little bit exciting in this episode, and that is dealing with something that's completely new in Coffee Break Italian, and quite possibly completely new for many of our learners, because it's something a little bit different.
Sì, hai ragione, Mark. Infatti, oggi introduciamo il passato remoto.
Ok, the passato remoto. We could call it a past historic in English, or a remote past, or something like that. But it's a special tense that's used for special purposes, and we're going to find out all about that today.
Ok, allora Mark, come sempre, bando alle ciance?
Diamo inizio alle danze! Ok, Francesca, tell us a little about the passato remoto. And when I say a little, give us the headlines, okay?
Okay. So first of all, I would like to reassure our listeners and tell them not to worry too much because this is something new and maybe they've seen it before and they might think it's a little bit too advanced. But what I would like to say as a start is that at this stage, I guess it's enough to recognize it, to know how it works, and to be able to spot it if we see it, for example, when we're reading a book. But we're not expected to use it in an active way if we don't feel like it.
Exactly. So you've mentioned if we see it in a book, there would be some situations where we would hear this as well, in certain parts of Italy, perhaps.
Sì, that's a very good point, Mark, because it's very interesting. For example, where I come from, the north of Italy, we don't actively use the passato remoto.
Mm-hmm.
When we speak Italian in the past, we only use the passato prossimo, obviously the imperfetto, if we are describing feelings, age, and so on. But the key past tense is passato prossimo.
And you would also throw in the odd trapassato prossimo,
sì,
of
ovviamente,
course.
Ovviamente. Whereas in the south of Italy, they use passato remoto quite a lot. And at times, even when passato prossimo could be used instead. This is similar in a way to what happens with the Spanish past tense.
Exactly. Again, we know that not everyone is learning Spanish or speaks Spanish, but the preterite equivalent in Spanish.
So we could say that probably only in Tuscany, like the cradle of the Italian language, only there probably the passato remoto is used and is used quite correctly, I would say.
Okay, so that's a little about how it's used. But let's think a little about when it's used, and particularly about those situations where, yes, the passato remoto is the right tense to use in what we could say maybe is formal Italian or traditional Italian.
Okay, well, first of all, I would say that you can find the passato remoto more often in written Italian. So if you like Italian literature, or if you read biographies, if you like history, you're quite likely to find verbs in the passato remoto. Not necessarily, but it's quite typical of the written language.
So there we have another example of why recognizing it is so important, and maybe not necessarily being able to produce it ourselves, unless you want to maybe fancy yourself as writing an Italian novel someday.
Sì, perché no? Esatto.
So if this might give our listeners a little bit of reassurance, if I say that I have studied Italian at university for 1 year, I did 1 year of Italian, but okay, I've used Italian a lot. But if you asked me to conjugate a verb in the passato remoto, even a regular verb in the passato remoto, I would probably be able to guess most of it,
okay,
but I would not be 100% sure of knowing it. However, I've read many, many books, and therefore I have a passive understanding of it.
Sì, sì, sì.
And I've got by.
I think that's also the case for a lot of Italians. And as I said, especially in the north of Italy, because we don't, and I include myself, because I also don't use it actively unless I'm talking about history or I'm with friends from the south of Italy, then I'm kind of tempted to play with it, but it doesn't come natural to me.
Okay, that's very, very interesting. And I love these linguistic kind of outliers that are used in certain situations or by certain groups of people and so on. I think it is time to talk a little about exactly the use of it in terms of what kind of events are we talking about when we are talking about the passato remoto?
Okay, well, technically it has the same logic of the passato prossimo. So a past event which started and which is concluded, finished. The difference between passato remoto and passato prossimo is the idea of placing passato remoto in a more distant past. That's why it's very much used when talking about history or biographies, for example.
The clue is in the name.
Sì, remote past. Esatto. There is also the idea of the event not having any connection with the present anymore.
Okay, so shall we look at how verbs work in the passato remoto?
Sì, sì, sì.
Let's take then a regular are verb, something that we're very familiar with, but let's conjugate it now in the passato remoto.
Sì.
So, parlare.
Parlare, okay.
To speak. I spoke.
Parlai.
Oh, wow. You spoke.
Parlasti.
He or she spoke.
Parlo, with an accent. Parlo. So we don't have to confuse it with parlo. Mm-hmm. I speak. Parlo.
So there's a different stress there. Parlo, in the present tense, I speak. Parlo, with a real strong accent on that last O in the passato remoto.
Okay. Parlammo.
So we spoke. What about you, plural, spoke?
Parlaste.
Now go back to the to form.
Parlasti.
So very similar there. Parlasti, tu parlasti, and voi parlaste. And then they spoke.
And watch the accent, the emphasis. Parlarono.
Parlarono. Okay. So again, I am recognizing these forms because I've definitely read them. They remind me very much of Spanish. They
sì.
Remind me very much of the past historic in French.
Uh-huh.
Very similar in some cases. But yeah, I would probably have struggled to go through that myself.
Sì, sì, questo deve rassicurare I nostri ascoltatori, allora.
Speriamo di sì, speriamo
sì,
di sì.
Sicuramente.
So let's just go through it one more time, the whole conjugation.
Parlai, parlasti, parlò. Parlammo, parlaste, parlarono.
Good. Let's take an aere verb, credere.
Okay, and aere verbs for the first and the third person singular and the third person plural have two options, so you can choose between two endings.
Okay, is there any link to the aere forms? Can we see similarities?
Yes, yes, that's good news. The endings are very much similar. We're just switching from the A sound to the E sound.
Okay, so let's take credere and go through the form. So I believed.
We can either say credei, but there is also the option of saying credetti.
Wow, okay, credetti or credei. You believed.
Credesti.
That one's, there's no option there, it's just credesti.
Yes.
Okay, he or she believed.
Again, we have two options, crede with an accent, mm-hmm, crede, or credette.
Right, so the difference there is credette as opposed to credetti.
Yes, comparing the first and the third.
Io credetti, lui credette.
Sì, esatto. Okay. Plurale?
We believed.
Credemmo.
Double M again.
Sì.
You, plural, believed.
Credeste.
Okay, very similar to the aste ending. And then they believed.
Again, we have these two options, crederono or credettero.
Okay, crederono, credettero. But in each case, watch the stress.
Esatto.
The third last syllable.
Sì, sì.
Okay, so can I try the full conjugation?
Sì, vai, Mark.
Credei, credesti, crede, credemmo, credeste, crederono.
Sì.
Or credetti, credesti, credette. Credemmo, credeste, credettero.
Bravissimo, bravissimo, bravissimo. Complimenti.
I think I prefer the ones without the T's because they're similar and they're easier because they fit with the aree versions.
Okay. At times, one sounds better than the other, but I think at this stage, we shouldn't worry too much. It's already quite a lot to take in, I think.
Absolutely. Okay. What about ire verbs? Let's take aprire.
Okay, same logic. Again, we're just switching to the sound I for the third conjugation.
Okay, so I opened.
So this is interesting because we have a double I, apri.
Okay, so we very rarely hear that sound in Italian. I'm thinking maybe of the aunts and uncles, gli zii.
Bravissimo, sì.
So apri.
Apri.
You opened.
Apristi.
He or she opened?
Aprì, with an accent again.
Can I guess the remaining ones to see if this works?
Dai, dai, prova.
Okay. So, would it be aprimmo?
Sì.
We opened, and then you plural opened apriste?
Bravissimo.
And aprirono?
Bravo, aprirono, molto bene. Okay. Bravo, non è facile, bravo.
Non è facile, no. Okay, now, that's regular verbs, and I think what we're going to see immediately as we start to look at some irregulars is that there are forms that we have seen. If you read an Italian newspaper or you read something online or you read a book, you're
sì.
going to recognize these forms, particularly probably the third person forms
sì,
to
sì.
say what someone was like or to say what someone had and so on.
Esatto, sì, fu is quite, I'm sure our listeners have already heard or yeah. seen fu.
Fu, and that's from essere.
From essere, sì.
Could you go through the whole of essere, because it is quite irregular.
Yeah, essere and avere as always are irregular. So there is a big change when it comes to essere, because we switch to the stem with the f.
F, yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's then look at I was.
Fui.
You were.
Fosti.
He or she was.
Fu.
We were.
Fummo.
You all were.
Foste.
They were.
Furono.
Furono. I think there's a few in there. We've got to the end of it. I think, again, don't worry too much about this. This is a lot of information.
Sì.
But again, it's about recognizing these forms. And the good thing is that even though in some cases the stem is quite tricky or is perhaps quite different, the patterns are pretty regular.
Sì, sì. And the context always helps. So you can probably guess it's a verb, essere, if you know all the other words in a sentence.
Exactly. Now, with avere.
Avere again, we change to a rather different stem.
But not all the time.
No.
So what is avere then?
So we have ebbi.
For I had. Ebbi, that's E-B-B-I.
But then we are back to the regular in a way. Avesti.
So you had avesti. Then he or she had.
Ebbe.
Okay. Ebbe. And then we had.
Avemmo.
You plural had.
Aveste.
And they had.
Watch the emphasis. Ebbero.
So we've actually already seen this pattern where there are sometimes slight
sì.
differences or slight things to watch out for with the first person singular, the I form, the third person singular, the he, she, it form, and the third person plural,
sì.
the they form. Just as we've seen here, ebbi, ebbe and ebbero, and we previously saw it with the etti, ette, ettero endings of credere.
Sì, esatto.
And is that something that we'll see again?
It's a pattern that we can notice. Sì, sì, sì.
What do you want to do? Should we go through more verbs? Or
maybe we can provide some other irregular verbs.
Okay.
I should say that most of the irregular verbs are in the ere conjugation, and where we can notice again this irregularity of the third person singular and the third plural. So maybe we can just look at a few to see what happens.
Probably one of the other main verbs that we always look at is fare.
Fare, sì, sì. So the passato remoto of fare is feci, facesti, fece, facemmo, faceste, fecero.
Right, so there we're seeing 1, 3, and 6 again, if you look at those parts. So feci, then it returns to fa, facesti, fece, the third person again with the e sound, and then back to a for the first person plural and second person plural, facemmo, faceste, and then third person plural, fecero.
Esatto, sì. And maybe we can see a couple of ere verbs. Mm-hmm. One that I often mention in class when I talk to my students, when I explain the passato remoto, is the verb chiedere, to ask. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you in a second why.
Okay, right. So I asked.
Chiesi.
Ah, okay. Right. You asked.
Chiedesti.
He or she asked.
Chiese.
I think I see where you're going with this.
Okay.
We asked.
Chiedemmo.
Chiedemmo. You asked.
Chiedeste.
And then they asked.
Chiesero.
Again, we're seeing that 1, 3, and 6 pattern with different sounds, in this case an S instead of the D. But looking at that third person singular form, chiese.
Aha. Uh-huh.
That's the word for churches.
Sì, bravissimo. And I often use this example when I discuss the passato remoto with my students to show them that at least it's important that they recognize chiese as a verb, not just as the plural of chiesa, mm-hmm. church. So imagine you're reading a novel and at some point you read le chiese. That could be the churches but
it could also be to her, le chiese, he or she asked.
Bravissimo, bravissimo.
Right.
So although maybe when we speak Italian, we cannot think on the spot and say, oh, he asked her, le chiese, that's okay. We can say, le ha chiesto, fair enough. Uh-huh. But if we read something, we have to be able to recognize it. Otherwise, we are completely lost. We cannot make sense of what we are reading.
And if we were asking, or if we were translating, he asked her where the churches were.
Le chiese, dove erano le chiese.
Wow. Okay, Francesca, I think time is marching on in this episode and I don't want to miss out on our conversation, which is going to be very interesting, a conversation with some passato remoto tenses in there.
Sì, and a special nonno.
Ah, okay. But I do think it would be worth maybe just mentioning half a dozen very common verbs that have these different forms in the passato remoto.
Sì, okay. And then obviously we will provide them with the notes and the full conjugation. So we've seen chiedere, leggere, mm-hmm. ad esempio. So lessi, I read, lessi. Okay.
Then you read.
Leggesti.
Right, so it returns to the same sound
the regular
of the infinitive.
Stem,
right.
Yes.
So lessi, leggesti, presumably it goes on to lesse.
Bravissimo.
Leggemmo, leggesti, lessero.
And it becomes irregular at the end, lessero.
Okay, so perhaps what we could do is just look at the io and the tu forms, if these are all the same pattern.
And then our listeners can work out as homework, I compiti, the rest of the conjugation.
Benissimo. Okay, let's look at mettere then.
Okay, misi.
So I put, misi, and then you put would be?
Mettesti.
So back to the regular form. What about to write, scrivere?
Scrissi.
Wow, okay, so scrissi, I wrote, but you wrote?
scrivesti.
Back to the what we expect there.
Sì.
Rompere.
Oh, rompere è molto carino, perché, non lo so, mi piace. Ruppi.
Ruppi. So I broke and then you broke.
Rompesti.
Okay. What about to know, sapere?
Sapere è seppi.
Seppi, okay. And then you knew.
Sapesti.
Okay. Anything else?
Well, we mentioned biographies, so nascere mm-hmm. is probably a useful verb.
One, yes, so to be born.
Nacqui.
Nacqui.
Nascesti.
Nascesti. Okay, so nacqui, I was born, nascesti, you were born. But then if we're talking about he or she was born, nacque.
Nacque, sì. And this is what we find very often in biographies. XYZ, nacque, mm-hmm. and so on.
And so it would be morire, would that be regular?
Morire is morì. It's an ire verb. Mm-hmm. So morì, moristi, morì.
Morì, yeah.
So nacque so, and morì.
So following the same patterns as aprire, then for morire.
Sì, sì, it's an ire verb, so it's regular.
Okay. Something else that we might see in a biography is where someone lived.
Sì, bravissimo. So vivere, mm-hmm. vissi.
So that's the I lived, vissi.
Vivesti.
Viveste. And then for the lei or the lui form, it would be visse.
Visse, mm-hmm. sì.
So
sì.
He
nacque,
lived.
Visse, morì.
Ecco, okay. And perhaps if we came, saw, and conquered, what about venire?
Venire, venni, with a double N.
Ah,
venni.
Okay. Venni.
Venisti.
Venisti, right. So I came, venni, I saw... Well, like the Latin vidi, perhaps?
Sì, bravissimo.
And then I conquered, well, this is presumably from vincere.
Vincere, sì.
So I conquered, well, in Latin that's vici.
Sì.
Is it vici in Italian?
No.
Okay, so vincere. We're looking at vincere, I'm guessing.
It's irregular.
Vinqui?
No, good guess.
Vissi?
It's a good ending.
Vinci?
Vinci, oh. Bravissimo, bravissimo.
So I came, venni, I saw, vidi,
sì.
And I conquered, e vinci.
Vinci, bravissimo. Venni, vidi, vinci.
Venni, vidi, vinci. Wow.
Wow.
We've almost conquered
the
passato remoto. But
sì.
I think what will definitely help is if we hear all of this in a conversation.
Sì, sì, buona idea.
Okay.
In addition to the podcast version of Coffee Break Italian Season 3, we are also putting together a full course on the Coffee Break Academy, where you'll be able to access bonus materials to help you make even better progress with your Italian.
That's right. Not only will you be able to enjoy an ad-free audio version of each lesson, we'll also provide a bonus episode in which we'll go through every detail of the dialogues, and a third episode for each lesson in which Francesca will be testing us with some translation challenges based on the lesson topic. Of course, there are comprehensive notes and a video version of each lesson too. Visit coffeebreakitalian.com and follow the links for Season 3 there.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, we are learning about the passato remoto today. I feel that we've climbed a hill, Francesca.
See.
There's been lots to learn, but I think the important thing is now seeing it in context and hearing some further examples of the passato remoto. Can you tell us about our conversation?
Sì, come ho detto prima, abbiamo un nonno molto speciale oggi.
No wonder.
So we have a grandfather talking to his granddaughter, Carlotta, and he's telling her a little bit about his past and his family and some tales of the past, let's say.
So talking about the past, telling tales about the faraway past, the distant past, we're going to hear some natural passato remoto verbs.
Sì, fate attenzione.
Let's have a listen and then we'll talk about it afterwards.
Nonno, raccontami ancora di quando la tua famiglia si è trasferita a New York.
Ma Carlotta, hai sentito mille volte questa storia.
È vero, ma i tuoi racconti sono affascinanti e ogni volta mi sembra di scoprire qualche nuovo dettaglio. E poi, in questo periodo a scuola stiamo studiando proprio l'emigrazione italiana nel mondo, quindi posso usare la tua testimonianza per la mia ricerca.
Va bene. Come ti ho già detto, la mia famiglia era molto povera. Mio padre era un contadino e mia madre faceva la casalinga. Non aveva molto tempo libero, visto che eravamo in 8, 5 fratelli e 3 sorelle.
8 fratelli. Mamma mia, non riesco ad immaginarmelo.
Una volta era normale, ma non era facile dare da mangiare a così tanti bambini. E poi non devi dimenticare che fino al dopoguerra l'Italia non era un paese ricco.
È per questo che molte persone decisero di emigrare?
Sì, si diffuse pian piano la notizia che negli Stati Uniti c'era molto lavoro. E così molte famiglie iniziarono a trasferirsi lì.
Anche voi?
Non subito. Mia madre non voleva lasciare i suoi genitori e la terra, ma mio padre insistette un po' e alla fine la convinse. Non fu facile però.
La mia bisnonna pianse molto?
Sì, soprattutto quando partì mio padre. Ci lasciò soli per un anno.
E perché?
Pensò che fosse meglio andare in avanscoperta, vedere com'era New York, trovare un lavoro e una casa adatta a noi.
Ah, certo. Ma vi sentivate tutti i giorni per telefono, no?
Ma che? Non c'erano i telefoni in quel periodo. Ricordo quando ricevemmo la prima cartolina da New York. Che emozione!
Ma cosa faceva tuo padre lì?
All'inizio non fu facile e si adattò a fare un po' di tutto. Poi suo cugino Alberto, che viveva lì già da un paio d'anni, gli trovò un buon lavoro in una fabbrica di materassi e così riuscì a risparmiare i soldi per comprarci i biglietti per la nave.
Ma ti ricordi ancora il giorno della tua partenza?
Non lo dimenticherò mai. Il giorno prima andammo a salutare tutti i parenti e la gente del paese. La mia maestra mi regalò un libro in italiano e mi disse: «Impara bene l'inglese, ma non scordare mai la lingua del cuore».
E che libro ti diede?
Il famoso libro Cuore di Edmondo De Amicis.
Ah, un classico proprio.
Sì, brava. La traversata atlantica durò all'infinito e, visto che in quel periodo non avevamo gli smartphone o i tablet, i miei fratelli ed io leggemmo il libro 4 o 5 volte.
Oh, che tenerezza! E come fu l'arrivo a New York?
Beh, puoi immaginarti. Mio padre era lì tra la folla che ci aspettava. Appena lo vedemmo, gli corremmo incontro e ci abbracciamo tutti e 10 insieme. Una signora ci notò, si avvicinò a noi e ci disse, con accento siciliano, che non aveva mai visto una dimostrazione di affetto così in tutta la sua vita.
Mi viene sempre la pelle d'oca, nonno, quando mi descrivi questo abbraccio.
Certe cose ti lasciano un segno per sempre, Carlotta.
Ma perché poi decidesti di tornare in Italia?
Questa
è un'altra storia. Ora sono un po' stanco. Te la racconterò un'altra volta. Ora vai a fare i compiti.
Va bene, nonno. Però prima dammi un abbraccio.
Di quelli che lasciano il segno. Mamma mia, Francesca, sono distrutto.
Sì, Mark, che carino. Vedo che sei un po' commosso.
A story that has happened in so many places, in so many ways, for so many people.
Sì.
But we'll go through that in greater detail in our bonus episode. For now, let's talk a little bit what has happened in this story.
Ok, va bene, Mark. So, in this conversation we see Carlotta, a very young girl, and she's talking to her grandfather, her nonno. She's actually asking him to tell her a little about his family moving from Italy to New York when he was a child.
She's studying Italian emigration at the moment at school, so she wants to hear the story that she's heard so many times again.
So basically her grandfather's family was poor, and his parents, a farmer and a housewife, had 8 children to feed.
Yeah, I mean, until the end of the Second World War, Italy was quite a poor country. Mm-hmm. So at that point, they decided to move to the States, just as many other Italian families did at that time and indeed before then.
Yes, the grandfather, il nonno, also says that for his mother, it wasn't an easy decision to make at the time. And she didn't want to leave her parents behind and also their land, which was important. But her husband managed to convince her in the end.
So the father of the grandfather left for the US in order to find a job and a suitable house, while the rest of the family stayed in Italy for another year. A very hard thing for them to do. Again, happening all the time.
And it keeps happening. Yeah. And at the time, there were no phones, obviously. So the first postcard, la prima cartolina from New York, was quite exciting and very emotional.
Yeah. And the grandfather, the nonno of our story, also explains that his father found it hard at first, but then his cousin Alberto, and he had moved to New York before him, he found him a job in a mattress factory, I think.
Bravo.
Which allowed him to save some money and buy the tickets for the whole family to come to America by ship.
I think it was rather expensive.
Yeah.
And Carlotta also wants to know about the very day when her grandfather and the rest of the family left Italy.
Yeah, he said it was very emotional when they went to say goodbye to everyone, and his teacher gave him a copy of Edmondo De Amici's book, Cuore.
Sì, molto famoso il libro Cuore in Italia.
So the teacher told him to learn English well, but not to forget the language, la lingua del cuore.
Sì, that's quite emotional, yeah. I should say. And yeah, so basically in the end, the grandfather and his siblings read the book 4 or 5 times during the crossing, just to keep themselves entertained.
They didn't have smartphones or tablets or anything like that at the time.
No.
So when they got to New York, their father, or our grandfather's father, was waiting for his family, and all of them hugged emotionally.
Yeah, another beautiful scene, which was spotted by a Sicilian woman who happened to be there at the same time. And she also said that she had never seen something like that before.
Okay, so Carlotta finds this whole event very emotional, and her grandfather explains that certain hugs leave a mark forever.
Sì, I agree, I think.
She also wants to know why the grandfather decided to go back to Italy as an adult, but now's not the time.
No, he's too tired for another story, and they just give each other a hug uh-huh. that lasts forever, and Carlotta just continues with her homework.
So there we have it. As I said, we'll be going through every line of that in our bonus episode, so if you have access to that, you can move on to that after you finish listening to this. Okay, Francesca, c'è ancora una cosina oggi?
C'è ancora una cosina, ci sono state tante cosine oggi.
Indeed.
Ma come sempre c'è ancora una cosina. And because in this episode we have discussed the passato remoto and also the importance of this tense when telling a story, I just want to see with you how to say in Italian once upon a time and they all lived happily ever after.
Okay, so once upon a time, I'm pretty certain I know that would be c'era una volta.
Bravissimo.
So c'era una volta, and then there was such and such.
Sì.
And they lived happily ever after.
We have a nice passato remoto there.
Uh-huh.
E vissero tutti felici e contenti.
Of course, so they lived, vissero, from vivere.
Sì.
But that's our passato remoto, vissero tutti felici, all happy e contenti, and happy.
Sì, content.
Yeah.
Sì.
So, e vissero tutti felici e contenti. Perfetto.
Esatto.
It's been a great lesson. I've thoroughly enjoyed this lesson, looking at something completely different. A new tense, again, stressing the fact that it's more important to recognize this tense and to be able to identify it in a sentence, particularly when we're reading, than it is to be able to produce it ourselves.
See, maybe a little bit of Montalbano could help.
Watch
some Montalbano or read some of the stories of Montalbano by Camilleri. And you will certainly listen or read some verbs in the passato remoto.
Buona idea, è tutto per oggi. Grazie mille, Francesca.
Grazie a te, Mark, e a tutti. A presto, ciao.
Ciao, ciao.
You have been listening to a Coffee Break Languages production for the Radiolingua Network. Copyright 2022, Radiolingua Limited. Recording copyright 2022, Radiolingua Limited. All rights reserved.